What I said about when the first white people came and when great great grandmother is over 100 years old, and I was 12 years old when she died. After her funeral, Uncle Lord Williams gave me great great grandmother Steve's name, his Amarada, at the feast. Great great grandmother comes, her dads are from the house of Ramaka, and I remember the chief that built a casket for her. His white name is James Green, and his name is Ogat, and which perhaps his cook is his medicine man name, but it's just as high as the chief name, because they put up a feast just among the village whenever they got the medicine man there. And after that, my grandmother lives to be way over 120. This is Edith Gower, Daniel Gower's wife, and her chief name is Gwader, and her husband's name is Nurse and Amad Gower, and the frog tribe is this there. And after that, my auntie Emily Lutz is over 102. They made a mistake about her age at the Indian office. When she was still in the hospital, the kind nurses made a cake for her for her last birthday. And I remember my own mother that died of cancer when she was only 35 years old. If she lived that day before Auntie Emily died, she would be 98 years old, because she is in the middle of the family, and Auntie Emily is the second of my grandmother's children. Some people think she is the eldest, but they said a baby boy is the eldest, born the same day as some late son really loves me. So he is in the witness. A little overhanded prince and died. And I'll be 79 this coming August. So you see, the three grannies were overhanded. Two good grannies. And my auntie and myself, four generations. And it's a little over 400 years since the white people came to our land. And after that, great-grandmother and three, four were about middle age, and a young white man came along. All his hands were torn. Even in the middle of the legs and his knees. And they feel sorry for him. Perhaps this is when the gold rush everybody's heading north. And they take this young man and they call him Hohe. That's they adopt him as their son. And when Hohe is really strong and perhaps they give him some lunch or find a job, then he went away. So I know there were many of our people helping the white people when they first came on our land because they were kind. My people are very kind. And I was told too that some of the family are looking after one or two of the white people that have nothing to eat. And that they will, the family will tell it themselves. So after that, the people doesn't know what the white people's plans are. All they know is they are the white people got some of the chiefs, like one of them is the guy that made a casket for my grandmother. His name's Green. I heard he's one of them. He doesn't write or know much English. And the surveyors of the reserve asked him to come along too. And that's when they surveyed what the peaceful calm reserve today. And another thing happened when the road is coming out to the village from Hazleton, and there's a bridge, and they wanted to have the bridge built on great-grandmother's fishing site that's across the village there where Hawaii's fishing site is. And they want the bridge to be built there, but we didn't let them. With the help of the rest of the elders in the village, they are gathered down to the junction where Kislev's River and Steamer River met together. The elders gathered together and they were with Hawau, and Hawau is across the collector. There's the bridge. And so some of the white people were getting mad, and they threw the elders on this side into the river, into the water, because the water down there is just like a lake when it comes in below some of the houses. And they call that part is a cement ink. That's where they put fish heads on a spring, long spring, and dump it in there till it rots for about a week, and then they pull it out and they boil it, and the grease comes on the top, and they took the grease off with a spoon and put it in a container, nice container or a jar for the grease. That's why they call that point down there, the mainstream. That's where they dumped the old people. I believe if they dumped them into the swift water where the Pisgah runs in, and it's very swift, so the water could have carried and those old people away. So that's the reason why the bridge is built at the end of my grandfather Daniel and my grandmother. The potato garden across the Kislev River here. That's where they built the bridge. And it's still there now. After that the Sanctify the first and the first kid here. The Hudson Bay Company, Dr. Fuller's, and many other companies. And I was told by the old people when we were young, a lot of people still know it, to remember it today, how they stand. They make, they hold a large gun, what they call Shemruga. They put those round shells in them. Maybe that's why people call it Shemruga. They're long guns. The Hudson Bay make that gun stand up and they hold it. And an Indian that wants to sell his fur, put furs at the bottom of the stem and kept putting them on all kinds of fur. Till the fur gets to the top, then they give the gun to an Indian and took all the furs. So you see that's why the Hudson Bay is very rich today. I've seen it on the map. They were all over the world. Their stores is all over the world. And another thing they do to the Indians is the great big enamel mug, which my people call Tivalwesh. And the enamel mug is still called Tribalwesh today. That means they trade one fur to link to this enamel cup. Perhaps you would figure out how much those enamel cups in the olden days, and they just trade it to a full of link. And another thing I was told that not just the Indians around here, but I believe it's all over Canada and the States. When the Indians first seen the soap suds and they also, and the Indians like it when they see the suds and they just trade the fur with a bar of soap too. That's the story I was told when the first white people came. And also the Indians, when the white people gave them some baking powder, and they don't know how to use it and better to set in powder outside, and they took the little thing which they called hearts. They liked the little thing to use it for drinking water. And another thing they do is, when they first seen the tea, they got a round iron pot, and they boil the water in this round glass pot. And dump the whole pound of tea in it and boil it and took it off, and it must have been really strong. And they set the pot in the middle and give everybody a wooden spoon, and they all sat and used the wooden spoon to drink the tea. But when I was small, I had seen them still like the tea to be really strong. And that's how it is. Another thing, very ancient thing I would like to tell is that of how our people believe in God. To believe in God is not new to us. They already know it. Whenever they get caught by a fork on the mountain while hunting mountain goats, they name food the brown hogs, and they use the skin for blankets and mattresses, and they use the groundhogs for the fish in the ancient time, and each chief got one groundhog because they were very valuable and very warm as a blanket in the olden days, they said. So today, nobody went out and hunt the groundhogs and dry the skins. That's why they used a little bit of money in the olden days as a brown instead of brown. That's how they started to use the money. And when they caught, they were caught by a fork. They managed to grab some little chips of wood, pieces of wood, and burn it and burn the lunch, the rings, and a piece of fried fish along for lunch. And they burn it and they prayed. This is how they pray. That means, oh grandfather, grandfather, have mercy on us. We are poor, there will be no one to build a fire underneath thee. They call God their grandfather. And a few minutes after prayer, when they use the lunch, a piece of fish for a sacrifice, a few minutes after that, then the fork lifts and they see where they go. That's how the grandfather helped them. And many, many other ways that the grandfather helped them too. And I will tell a story too about a blind man. They live in the woods with his wife and a child, a little child. And a stranger come along, a man, and he took away his wife and the little child, and the man is left alone in the camp. And he got nothing else to do because he's blind, and he just lay there. Finally, a loon passed by on the top of his camp, the camp, and he heard the loon. The loon, and you hear when the loon laughs. He heard it. And he said, oh, that means I wish I had the eyes of this supernatural spirit, he said. And a few minutes after he said that, the loon sat near him, and he took out the man's eye, and he took out his own one of his eye and put it into the man, and put the man's eyes into his eyes. He tried it. And he done the same thing to the other eye. And the man got up, he sees really clear and good far away. And I was told that the loon's eyes today is kind of reddish. Yes, that's what they said. Today the loon's eyes are reddish, and the man's eyes are really clear. And he got his bow and arrow and started out to camp to look for where that strange man took his family. And they are not very far away from him. The fire, they got their fire, and the man sat near the fire. And the woman was very surprised to see her husband coming, and she said, "The water." That means your dad is coming. But the father aimed his arrow to the man and shot through him. And there it was, the great big link fell backwards. That's how it is. When they said, the Indians say that an evil spirit gets into the animals, so they turn into a human being and capture anyone. So transplant is not new among the Indians. The loon already did it thousands and thousands of years ago. So that's the end about the loon and the blind man.